Good morning. The Lord is very gracious. Grace is another word for power and the ability to. If you have grace, then you have an ability. And so when God pours upon me a grace, I find myself humbled in that grace. And so God has been pouring revelation into me. And so I find myself a lot of times feeling like it's a revelation that I'm not worthy of it. I should be reading this somewhere, and I haven't. And so I find myself sometimes questioning it, but I know that it's true. And so I'm going, wow, it makes so much sense to me. And this is one of those times that I feel like God has given me this grace and information and revelation that is that unlocks some things for me to give me practicality in the kingdom of God. This will forever change me in how I see what God has done in the history of my redemption and your redemption. And I will always refer back to this when God reveals His keys to the kingdom story. And I will forever see that I am free, and I will always go back to this and tell other people that they are free and they also have the keys to the kingdom. And I'm believing that having the keys to the kingdom are such a freeing ability to go and do so much more than what we used to be able to do to what we're going to be able to do. And so it's let's start with Matthew 16. And this is such a great culmination of the spiritual warfare thing that God was doing and has done. And it's a great place to end the series on spiritual warfare. This is where Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That's significant, that there is a communication between God and Simon. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He said, you have now entered into this significant thing that Jesus has come to build upon this earth, and it's the church. I'm going to build my church upon this foundation that Jesus is what? The Son of the living God. And upon that rock, upon that foundational belief that Jesus is the Son of God, we're going to build the church. And who is the church? We are the church. So everyone inside of that church has to believe that foundational belief that Jesus is the Son of God. There cannot be any variance of that. We can't believe that Muhammad is. We can't believe that any other person is the Son of God other than Jesus Christ. Upon that foundation, He's going to build His church. And the gates of hell, shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Consider the power of that statement. Now he's saying, Peter, understand, I'm giving you some major control here. I'm giving you the keys to this kingdom that I'm about to establish here on earth. First, I'm making you a part of this kingdom. You are now the church because you believe and you have been revealed unto that I am the Christ, the Son of God. Major. Got to believe that. Because you believe that, now you get to have power in that. Because of what you speak, because of what happens in your heart, you are able to bind and loose. How many of you, I'm asking you to evaluate this. How many of you go out throughout the day binding and loosing? I would have to say I do it minimally. I don't do it a bunch. And I should do it more. Because what? I have the keys to the kingdom of God. I have the keys to be able to bind and loose. If I truly believe, if I truly see that God has given me, then what I bind on earth, I should be binding disease. I should be binding a coronavirus. But you know what? I don't even think about it. But I have power to. I should be loosing what? I should be loosing healing. I should be loosing what? Prosperity instead of what? Poverty. I should be loosing God's blessings instead of the curses of the devil. And how do we do that? Tell me how we do that. Just 2 weeks ago, I talked about the power of the tongue comes from what we bless and what we curse. Your tongue is able to bless and curse through what? Binding and loosing is in the power of your tongue. Because what? Because you have been given keys to the kingdom of God. You have power. We also have power, and while I was praying for Catherine this morning, there was an inspirational thing by the Holy Spirit to pray for angels. At my charge, to send angels to go do what they do that was needed in her situation. This was something that needed to be done that wasn't right here. It needed to be done at a different place. Well, I don't have the ability to transport myself, but there are angels that are at my beck and call to do my bidding. To do God's bidding. And I am that agent in which He says, you are able to intercede for people's lives. And if I know the will of God, and I do know the will of God, you know the will of God, the will of God is in the Word of God. And so therefore you should be doing what? Dispatching angels to do that will of God. What are we going to do? Worry about it? Or are we going to pray about it? With what power? With intention and purpose. That's what we do. That's what we should be doing. Oh God, please. No, God do. Binding and loosing. We got keys. Go to the store, Aaron, and pick me up a pound of butter. Okay. And she starts walking. No, Aaron, take the car. But I don't have any keys. Here, take these. It sure is faster. We don't mind using the keys that we can see. Wouldn't you rather take the car? Oh, absolutely. But yet, we have keys at our avail, but we don't use them as much as we can. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. He didn't say Jesus Christ. He's Jesus the Christ. So, right here, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. So what are we doing allowing the gates of hell to prevail against us? So I'm going to ask you a question. You need to do an evaluation. Are the gates of hell prevailing against you? I don't need a raise of hands. I need you to do an evaluation, though. Are the gates of hell prevailing against someone that you love? And I have to say, yes. Why is the next question? If this promise is something that we can have and are able to walk in, why is the devil and the gates of hell getting any points on the scoreboard at all? Why? Because we're not doing the other thing. We're not binding, we're not loosening. We're not doing the practical things that God has called us to do. Now, Genesis 3, starting with verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto them, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that thou wast naked? Naked and hail are the same thing. Hast thou eaten of the tree that whereof I command thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to thou be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And until the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, kicked him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. And so therefore, hey guys, they were kicked out because they sinned. And curses fell upon Adam and Eve. Now, because they sinned, they were cursed. The snake was cursed, and then Eve was cursed, and so was Adam, and the land was cursed, and so was Adam. Okay? Now, this happened close to the beginning of time. All these years passed, and then came Jesus. Okay? And then comes the gates of hell shall not prevail. How did this work? Because the gates of hell was sure prevailing up until this time that Peter comes. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit, and we're talking about the temptation of Jesus. Okay? Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, and y'all know the story, he was tempted to turn a rock into bread. And he said, not going to do it. It is written, man shall live by bread alone, not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then he takes him up to a pinnacle and he says, if you are really the Son of God, you can throw yourself off of this. And he says, and survive. And I'll give you all of this. I'll give you all of this thing. And he says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then, that was the next temptation. Then he, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the devil takes him up to the high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he says, if you'll just fall down and worship me. And he says, get hence, Satan, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve. And the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Okay. Now, understand what happened in heaven. Jesus was there when Satan got kicked out of heaven. It was a big deal. Written. He said, And so, Satan knew who Jesus was. And he knew that Jesus was coming to earth. And he knew exactly what Jesus was supposed to do when he was going to come. He was going to take away Satan's right. He's going to take away the kingdom that Satan had. And so, Satan's just going, oh my gosh. We've got to get rid of Jesus. And so what did he do? Well, God said, I've got to send you back. Adam screwed it up. Adam screwed it up. Jesus, you got to go down there and fix it. And he said, okay. And so Satan was waiting for him. And so he goes down there. The devil didn't know he was coming to earth and when he was coming. And so what did he do? He kills all the babies 2 years old and younger in the whole region trying to find Jesus. He enters that king. It was a demonic thing that happened in the earth at that very time. He killed every baby 2 years old and younger in trying to get a hold of Jesus. So if he could kill them, maybe he could get a hold of Jesus and then he would be spared the kingdom that he had. Well, of course, God made it where he didn't get killed. So then Jesus grew up, and then Jesus was baptized. And what happened when he was baptized? Oh man, there was a glorious, great God looks down upon Jesus and says, this is my son. He announces to the world, he announces to heaven and earth, Satan, you want to know where he's at? This is him. He's here. You found him. This is him. So Satan takes his time and he says, okay, I got you. I got your number. I'll use Purell in a minute. I got your number. And so he goes, and so what he does is he starts fasting. And when he fasts, he says, well, there's a day fast, there's a 10-day fast. Oh, he's going for the 40-day fast. Wish he'll sit back and wait. So he goes for the 40-day fast. And he says, at the end of this, we're going to get him. And at the end of that 40-day fast, Satan shows up. And he says, come here, sonny boy. I'm about to see if you're really the Son of God. Because I don't believe it. I don't believe it. You see, way back there, the first Adam, he screwed up. I made him screwed up. I'm the one that tempted him. I was the snake. I tempted him. And he screwed up. You, the second Adam, we'll just see. And he tempted him three times. And he passed the test. And he left. And the angels came and he said he ministered to him. And Jesus, can you imagine the conversation? Jesus is going, Michael, Gabriel, ministering to Jesus. Brought him food, probably. Massaging his back, his shoulders. Probably getting a little water. Because he stunk. And he's going, hey boys, did you see what I did? Yeah, Jesus, we saw what you did. We thought you were going to call us. We were ready. We had our swords drawn. We were ready to take them on. No. Did you see what I did? Yeah, we saw what you did. You bopped that devil right on the head. With the word of God, you bopped him. He goes, no. He goes, I defeated him. Not as a son of God, but as a son of man. I didn't do it with miracles. I did it as a son of man. And pretty soon after this, there's going to be a whole army of us who are going to be able to do the very same thing, because they're going to have that same word living inside of them. That's us. That's us. Jesus gave us the very example of how to defeat the devil and not allow the gates of hell to be able to prevail against us by this. Because the first Adam failed, the second Adam shows up and was victorious so that we can be victorious also. Understand the ramifications of this. First Adam failed. Second Adam, victor. Okay? Telling you, the consequences of sin and the redemption of Christ. Eve's curse was multiply pain in childbirth. The desire for thy husband, and he shall rule over you. If you look at the scripture in Genesis 3, it says, you're going to have pain in childbirth. Let me ask you women, is it painful? Yes. I've heard a lot of screaming when I was in that room. It wasn't me, but there was a lot of screaming. A desire shall be to thy husband. This always is an interesting situation because that doesn't sound like a curse, does it? I mean, you should want to have a desire for your husband, right? But what that really means is you're never satisfied by what your husband does. That's the thing that says, why does my wife always nag me? Because you're never satisfied with what he does. I'm going to show you how this is resolved. And he shall rule over you. Well, let me show you the redemption of Eve. We are born again into a new kingdom. And so therefore, the multiply pain in childbirth, we are now born again into a new kingdom. That is already nullified. We're going to see two baptisms today. And what is that? We are born again. Remember when Jesus talks to these people? How can I be born again? How can I go back into my mother's womb? That's not possible. And he says, you're born again of the Spirit. Yes, we can be born again. Pain is no longer a part of our rebirth. Hallelujah, huh? John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You see, childbirth is to bring people into this earth, but being born again brings us into a what? The kingdom of God. When Jesus came, he says, I come to set up another kingdom. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they wanted to get rid of Jesus because that was what they were afraid of. You want to bring another kingdom? They thought, you're going to take us out. We no longer are going to be able to get the tithes and offerings for ourselves. You're going to take it away from us. Your kingdom is going to take away our kingdom. He's going, you don't even understand. I'm not here to put on royal robes. I'm here to produce the kingdom of God. First Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. When we are born again, we don't have to, what? Die again. We live forever. Hallelujah. The desire shall be to thy husband. Well, you're redeemed of that also. In Ephesians 5:23-24, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. He's going, and then he goes on and he says, I'm not talking about the marriage. I'm talking about the church. Do you find it interesting that he says, I'm not talking about husbands and wives, I'm talking about Christ and the church. He says, a wife so desires that she have a godly husband who is submissive unto Christ. And so she, when she is submissive unto a husband who is submissive unto Christ, she ultimately is submissive unto Christ. Is that not true? If she is following Christ, if he is following Christ, She is following Christ. What peace comes in a household? Because all God's children are following Christ. The redemption comes, and He shall rule over you. We want Christ to rule. That is the redemption. Well, Adam's curse. Curse is the ground to make you work hard. Guys, you think you testify to that? It's hard. I don't want to work hard. You have to sweat to eat. It says, you're going to sweat by the sweat of your brow, you will eat. And when you die, you will return to dust from which you came. The redemption for Adam in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all you that labor, you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my soul is easy and my burden is light. God says, you work and you work and you work and you try to get all things on your own. He says, I've got a better way for you. Those who work have not found your rest in God. He says, I have a rest. It's in the Lord. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. When we enter into his, we what? As God did from his, we cease from our own works. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. When we try to do it on our own merits, when we try to do it on our own efforts, we fall into unbelief. We don't believe God. Oh my gosh. If I have pointed this out to many people, you know, I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. And I said, you're trying to do it on your own. Well, of course, how else am I going to do it? And I said, well, you know, the Bible says that that's unbelief. You don't believe God. They become offended. Well, I believe God. You're telling me I don't believe God? What the Bible says. The Bible says you fall into unbelief. Now, therein lies the rub. Because they believe that by the word, they become justified. And he says, enter into your rest is faith. Oh, that's tough to take. But when you point it out, it's unbelief in God. It turns their world upside down. You have to be able to take in the rest of God. He says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Understand that being kicked out of the garden, he said, now you've got to work. I don't know what it was like in the garden. Evidently, there was fruit to be picked, and all you had to do was eat it. Right? There was no spoilage. There was no death. All you had to do was eat. And so when he was kicked out of the garden, the ground became hard. There was thorns and thistles. You had to go chop weeds. And then you had to till the land to get fruit out of it, to get grains. And you had to work. And now he says, now you don't have to do that because of what Jesus did. There's spiritual fruit that God wants to give you, and you don't have to work for it. He wants to just give it to you. Cuts against the grain of your heart, doesn't it? It really does. Romans 8, 10 through 11. In Christ being in you, the body is dead because of sin. And this is talking about the other. When you die, you return to dust from which you came. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. We become a spirit. Everyone else that is not a Christian is a two thing is soul and body. That's all they are. They are soul and body. They do not have a spirit. Christians are soul, body, and spirit. There are three. We are spirit. We have a soul and we live in a body. So when we die, our spirit does not die. Our body goes back to the dust. That still happens. But our spirit man goes up to heaven and reunites with God. So therefore, you can write this down and you want to look it up. 1 Corinthians 15, and it's 42 through 47. And it talks about the corruptible body and the incorruptible body. God has given us a positional and relational authority. The positional authority is through the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ has come and has given you a position in Christ. It's given you that place where you are saved. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you accepted that He died on the cross. And that blood covers all of your sins. You are white as snow. I was talking to Jared, and I was telling him, you're white as snow. And you know what he did? He looked down his arm. I ain't white. I was going, what did you look at your arm for? I'm not white. He said, you're white as snow in here. You're white as snow. You are changed. That's a position. Now, scriptures to back that up. John 6:53, Ephesians 2:13, 1 John 1:7. You can go back and listen to this and get those scriptures. We also have a relational position in Christ. It's the love of Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. But those scriptures, Romans 5:5-9. And the hope that makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. We have the love of Christ. It's why we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. That was His love. He loves us. He gave us. It's Galatians 5:14, it's Ephesians 3:16-17. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Let me tell you this. If the gates of hell is prevailing against you, you have to evaluate why. Well, it has to be that the foundation of Jesus is that foundational thing of Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? Now, if Jesus is the Son of God, that means several things should be intact. And that is that Jesus' teachings are intact in your life. Because Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. And if he's lying to you, like he did in the garden, and he tried to lie to Jesus, he lied to the first Adam, and now he tried to lie to the second Adam. And he even tried to lie to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. If he's trying to lie to you, then you have to look at your foundation. Jesus is the Son of God. And in that is where I need to stand at all times. And the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Recommit to that. Recommit to that. And don't allow Satan to come against you.
Amen. I'll tell you, I've read the scripture, heard preaching on that scripture concerning the temptation of Christ, but this morning when you said he accomplished it as the Son of Man, that's what I got this morning. The Son of Man. Showing us how we can do it as men and women of God.